Marion's going to bring us our first reading, which is from Matthew 13.
It's Matthew 13, beginning to read at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thanks be to God.
June's going to bring us our second reading, which is from Mark chapter 9.
Verse 42. Causing to sin. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Amen.
What's it worth? Some people are prepared to risk life and limb for something that to us lesser mortals may not seem worth the cost. On my shelves at home I have a lot of books about climbing, particularly in the high Himalayas. Many of them read like tragedies, even though the main expedition goal may have been achieved. For example, the back of Jim Curran's K2 Triumphant Tragedy summarises the contents like this. In the summer of 1986, there were 9 expeditions on K2, the second highest mountain in the world. 27 climbers reached the summit, and 2 new outstanding routes were completed on the south face and the south-southwest ridge. But also that summer, 13 people died on K2, including the 2 Britons, Al Rouse and Julie Tallis. I expect the names of George Lee Mallory and Andrew Irvine are well known to you, as perhaps the most famous of those who perished while attempting to reach the summit of Everest, the highest summit on Earth, in 1924. But they are only 2 of what must be hundreds of mountaineers and Sherpas who have died in attempts to get to a peak where they will only remain for a few minutes before retracing their treacherous steps. Many who have survived have lost fingers, toes, or whole limbs to falls, avalanches, and frostbite. But it's clearly considered to be worth it, as climbers who, like Chris Bonington, have lost many friends in their expeditions have continued to return year after year to face the risks. Jesus was clearly of the view that there is something of such great worth that we should seek to obtain it at all costs. Look at what it had to say in Matthew 13, that first reading. Just a couple of verses from that, Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Clearly, Jesus was pointing to something of great worth that was worth investing everything in it. But not only is there something extremely worth having, there's also something extremely worth avoiding. And that's highlighted by Jesus in the second reading. But let's instead highlight it with an illustration from our own lifetimes. It was Thursday, 1st May 2003, 5 days after Aaron Ralston had first entered Utah's Blue John Canyon on what should have been an 8-hour, 13-mile day hike. But on his way, while scrambling through a narrow section of the sandstone slot, Ralston dislodged an 800-pound chalk stone that rolled on its pinch points and pinned his hand and forearm. For 5 days he tried unsuccessfully to shift the obstruction. His supplies, 2 burritos and 3 litres of water, were now gone, and there was virtually no chance of rescue. No one had passed by, and he had failed to leave word with anyone of where he had been going. Unless Ralston did something drastic, he would not make it out alive. After 5 days trapped beneath the boulder, Ralston realised that the only way to get himself free was by amputating his own right hand with his penknife. He broke his radius and ulna, then laboriously cut through the remaining skin and tendons, freeing himself and saving his life. Having stemmed the blood flow with a tourniquet, he walked 6 miles until he found a group of tourists who called for an emergency helicopter. Well, a gruesome tale, but a true one. I remember hearing the guy on the radio some years ago. And yet, isn't that similar? Well, it certainly, when I read that passage in Mark 9, it was that tale of which I was reminded. You know, Jesus is pointing to something so worth avoiding that he says that it's better if your hand offends you to cut it off and go into heaven without a hand than into hell with one. Now, I'm not going to go into a study of what the Bible has to say about hell tonight. It's enough for today to recognise that Jesus warned us of it in no uncertain terms, and not just on this occasion. The passage we had read to us make it pretty clear it's worth taking drastic steps to avoid going there, and preferably to go into the kingdom of heaven. And the good news is that Jesus thought that the drastic steps worth taking included sacrificing himself in our place. It was he that experienced the cutting off. As Isaiah puts it, he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Or, I could put it, he was cut off from the land of the living for my transgression. Jesus was, as it were, severed from God so that we need not be. He has done everything in order that we might attain an incomparably wonderful goal. The summit, the pinnacle, is to enter the kingdom of God, now and for eternity. Amen.